Mystic Fix, a program for the whole being, with Julia Gordon-Bramer on News Talk STL.
Welcome to Mystic Fix. I am Julia Gordon-Bramer. Today's episode is in alignment with the Hanged Man tarot card. The Hanged Man is about sacrifice and letting go and surrendering to a higher power or a purpose. When it comes to past lives or past life regression, this card suggests a willingness to let go of old patterns and beliefs no longer serving you and to surrender to the process of self-exploration with the guidance of a therapist. It's also about sacrificing desires or attachments for the sake of self-discovery. Alternatively, the Hanged Man card could represent a past life in which the individual has made a sacrifice to a higher power or authority. This can be a life in which the individual was a spiritual seeker, a martyr, or even a victim of circumstances beyond their control. The card might encourage the individual to explore this past life to gain a deeper understanding of themselves or their life path. Overall, the Hanged Man can be seen as an invitation to let go of the past and surrender to the unknown, which is a key aspect of the life regression process. To talk more about that, first, let's meet Dr. Shelley Kerr. And I am speaking with Dr. Shelley Kerr, who is the author of Past Lives in Ancient Lands and Other Worlds. It's a new book by Llewellyn. So Shelley, you are a past life expert, correct? Are you actually a regression therapist or do you just study it?
Yeah, I've been doing regressions for over 20 years now, which is dating myself a little bit.
Great. Yeah. I'm familiar with, I've read Brian Weiss's book, Many Lives, Many Masters, and I've done a little bit of regression therapy myself. I had a couple experiences, which in my opinion, you know, I've talked to people about regression therapy and sometimes they say, well, I don't know if I just made it up in my head. And I say, what does it matter, right? I mean, there's information for you there. It kind of like a dream. I think there can be a lot of value to it. But why don't you tell our viewers, first of all, what past life regression therapy is for those who don't know?
Yeah, you make a lot of good points, Julia. The regression is, it's kind of like I take people through a guided journey. So it would be like they were listening to a guided meditation CD, doing a relaxation, walking through a doorway and just following some prompts. And then when you're asked certain questions, then the subconscious mind begins to present material. And so, yes, if you're asked questions about where you lived in a previous life, it probably does to a certain extent feel like you've made it up. But as you've said, it can be very, very valuable. Incredibly therapeutic to me. It, you know, there's no way to really prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, but as long as the person uses the information to make more sense of their current problem, because normally they're going to have an issue and that's why they're going on the regression in the first place. So usually I'll ask people in this little guided meditation to, you know, go back to the origin point where this issue became a challenge. So that could have been happening last week, or it could have been happening back in the 1600s or whatever. So once they're in that space, then if I say, okay, great. So what were you doing back there in the 1600s? And they'll say, well, I was doing this and this and this. Okay, great. So how does that apply to the challenge that you're having here now? And they'll go, oh my gosh, you know what? I'm doing the same things now that I was doing back then. And so if that thing they were doing feels good and we like it, then of course we want to do more of it. But if it's something we need to change, then we do different healing practices, cutting cords, you know, doing some forgiveness or whatever it is that helps them feel better so that they can release that behavior and again, make the current situation and the current life more pleasurable and easy to deal with.
Yeah. You have another book, Meet Your Karma, The Healing Power of Past Life Memories. Are you saying that problems we have in our current present life is karma of past life?
It is one way of looking at the world. I think, you know, a lot of us, we're just humming along, everything's going fine, and then things just suddenly aren't going well anymore. And so most of us will look to the three-dimensional world, into our environment. We might go seek medical treatment, or we might talk to a regular traditional counselor, or we might do all kinds of things. But if those things don't remedy the problem, then a lot of times I found that I'm more of a last resort, or, you know, why not? I might as well try anything. And then what people find is sometimes that these situations really do have an origin point in a past life. Absolutely. And this, how I got into it was because I had a friend who passed away in an accident, and I had a lot of unresolved grief for many years. And I looked here and looked there, wasn't getting what I needed. And when I had a past life regression and realized that the two of us had known each other in many lifetimes, it was just like the energy of that heavy burden just kind of got up and left. And I was like, okay, I'm okay with this now. I can let go of this, this agony. Yeah. And so I thought
Found a peace in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to know that you'll probably see that person again in future lifetimes too.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I find in my tarot card reading work, when I'm working with clients, often how people live in one area of their life, they do it across other areas. And so if someone has, you know, a lot of money struggles and beliefs and scarcity, it'll affect their love lives, and it'll affect even their health sometimes. And someone else might be fine with that, but they just don't believe they're lovable. You know, I see that a lot. And so I sometimes wonder, as a spiritual person myself, if we've got, you know, soul work, like, you know, maybe my soul's work is to understand my own value, which as I grew up early in this life, I didn't have that. I didn't perceive that. And it's been a journey. I'm almost 60 years old now, and it's been a journey of finding it. And I can see all the choices I made along the way to validate the false belief in no value. And so I kind of wonder, have I been doing this? You know, have I been on the merry-go-round life after life after life? Or is there something, just unique to this life? What do you think about that? Do you think there is a pattern across lives?
I definitely believe there's a pattern, just based on all the people I've worked with. You know, let's say I'm taking somebody back to that origin point I mentioned before. Then let's say we're trying to find out, you and I have talked earlier about the fact that relationships and love and stuff like that is usually one of the big issues for both your practice and mine. People want to know about their love relationships. So let's say they've come because they want to know how they knew their significant other, for example. So we might end up hitting several lifetimes. And then we find in relationship that pattern of behavior is a theme that gets carried, but those themes could also exist in the realm of soul purpose. You know, we can get really positive information from, I know from your readings, as well as from what I do, you can start to see, oh, wait a minute, they've had the same purpose over many lives, or they've had the same relationships over many lives. So I think that's definitely true.
Yeah. And
the other place that I've come to understand that I feel we are getting a lot of influence from, I wrote another book called Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life. And it's based on this process I developed called genealogical regression, where instead of regressing to our past lives, people go meet with the higher selves of their parents, and then they go send light to their ancestors who are usually embroiled in battles, or they're at funerals, or something horrible is happening. So we send light to those areas, and it starts to bring a healing through the generations, because the study of epigenetics is now telling us clinically, like there's studies with the CDC proving the fact that up to 50% of our personality is actually carried through our DNA.
Oh, so how interesting.
Another area I've seen clients who, they're fascinated by Ireland, for example, I'm just making that up. And then they didn't know that that's where their whole family line once lived or something. You know, I think we are very influenced by that as well.
Yeah. So I have this experience I'm going to throw at you just to get your opinion. I had a dream. I was preparing to do a clearing a client had called me up, and at her work, they were having just terrible things happening. And everybody was getting sick with like major diseases or else in accidents, and people were getting divorced. And then things started to go particularly crazy at this work. It was in a mall, in a store, and the mirrors in the store were clouding up black, and merchandise was flying off the shelves at people. And it was quite a big deal. And I said I would go and cleanse the place. And I went to sleep the night before, and I dreamed of a Native American. Oh, I perceive him to be a shaman, because I know he was not a chief, because chiefs have the full headdress, but he had some feathers, and he was angry at me. And he said, "Who are you, white girl, to use Indian methods on Indian spirits on Indian land?" And that's all he said. And I woke up like, whoa. But I knew, I had an inner knowing after that, that every one of us in the store, now the store was in, it's now the defunct Chesterfield Mall, right on a river. I did my research. It certainly was Indian land. And right, you know, at the Peoria tribe was up and down the Missouri River. And we, you know, in the late 1800s, marched them all off to Oklahoma, and who knows how many died. And so I looked up a charity and I said, we need to make a peace offering saying we are not a part of that, that we have, you know, my actual relatives were fairly new immigrants. My mother's British, you know, so it wasn't that my ancestors brought that on, but I wanted to show that I wasn't a part of that. And certainly I realize I've benefited, you know, everyone in America has benefited from the Indian land. And so we did this, and I did the clearing, blah, blah, blah. But the reason I'm sharing this is because I was talking to a Native American friend maybe half a year later, and I told him about this dream. And he said, "Oh, you have Native American blood." And I said, "No, I don't. I'm sure I've done the ancestry DNA. I am as white as you can imagine. I mean, at like 99 point something percent, you know, Northern European. And there's just no way that I have a drop of Indian blood." And he said, "But you have to, because our ancestors don't speak to people outside." And I thought that was so fascinating. And the only thing I can come up with is maybe that I had a past life as a Native American, and there was some kind of bridge there. I don't know. What do you think?
Wow. As usual, you're causing me to think of all kinds of things. I love talking to you. First of all, wow, just so many thoughts. You're reminding me of, I spent my childhood part of the time in Colorado Springs, and everyone in our neighborhood started having ghostly visions. And I have an autistic brother, and he was seeing a Native American who was, you know, making noise and scaring him or something. And so, of course, that was on an Indian burial ground too. And I think you make a lot of good points about the land and, you know, that we just don't know exactly what's going on the land. And our family, you know how you have things that are always told to your family, right? And then you find out they're not true. Because I did the same thing. I went on Ancestry. We were always told we were part Cherokee. And I wrote a whole bunch of books about gem and mineral healing because I'd been shown these things by a Native American man in this lifetime many years ago. And I started talking about them. And then when I went to my ancestry, I didn't have any Cherokee in there either. And so it's also been something that I've thought about as well. So yeah, you make a really interesting point. I mean, perhaps that is our past lives coming in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Or somebody maybe made it's just one
mistake on our ancestry. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So Shelley, how does one work with you? You know, can people do this regression therapy remotely? Do they have to see you in person?
One of the things that's been important to me in the last, really in a lot of my books, is to put guided imagery inside the book. So the reader, if they feel comfortable, can actually get an app. They could read the journeys. They could do them themselves. I also have a YouTube channel, which is Past Life Lady. You can just type that into YouTube.
I love it.
You can try some of the journeys themselves. And then I do some private sessions. I'm really, I just feel really strongly, though, that I do more service to more people if I can help people to learn how to do these things for themselves to the extent that they can. And then, you know, if it's more complicated, then yes, come see me for a session. But I encourage people to try even some of the ones that I have on YouTube yourself, just to get the flow of things and start to, because I feel like when I had my first regression, it was just very quick. I saw a very brief flash. And then over time, as I practice this, I feel like this is almost like working out at a gym. We need to exercise and keep practicing, and you get more and more information over time. So I encourage people to try to get into that realm a little bit first and see what comes up, because I think it's still a tool. We don't want to do it all the time, but it can be very revealing when it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've done it two or three times, and I always felt called to do it at a certain time. It's not something I would want to do every day. It's just kind of too heavy for that.
Yeah.
You do blend spiritual practices with science and research. So how do you balance these two worlds?
Wow, that's a great question. Ancient Lands was a lot of fun to write because I tried to provide the reader with brief histories of the different phases of history that I was describing, and then mixing them in with things that I've heard during the regression process. I like to include historical facts in these, because one of the things I'm also trying to do is, as readers are engaging with the content, I wrote an earlier book where I coined a term I call supretrovi, which is a spontaneously induced past life memory. I feel that we engage with content, whether it's a documentary on the Discovery Channel, or whether it's a book we picked up in the library, or if you travel to a new place and it resonates with you. I feel like our souls are waking up to the places where we've lived in past lives. And so I'm trying to make the content engaging by providing a little bit of history there. And then I'm asking the reader, okay, so think back now. We've learned a little bit about all these historical places. So what places resonated with you? What felt really good? What felt really, oh my gosh, get me out of here? Because I think the places that we really love are the places that we're running from. That's where the healing could really occur, and that maybe there's some familiarity there. So then I'm inviting the reader to go on a past life journey in that book, you know, and set their intentions. Like, I want to know how I am connected to Greece, or why I felt called to prehistory or Mesopotamia or whatever area they're looking at. And then they can get more details out of the regression by figuring out what resonates.
Interesting. I love how you said what we love or what we're running from. That's, yeah, no, nobody wants to look at that shadow, what they're running from. Yeah. Fascinating. Is there a quick summary that you might give of this recent book, like what people can expect? You said there are stories in here, right?
Yes. So historically, or typically, when people go on regressions, usually they're going to regress back to earlier lifetimes. And by earlier, I might mean like 1600s or 1700s, 1900s. So in this book, there are also people who go way back. So I start with prehistory, people who recounted lives as hunter-gatherers. And then we talk about some of the issues that are presenting with people who go back that far in time. It could be having to do with fear. And so there's guided imagery in there for the reader. Also, let's let go of some fear. Some fear is good. It keeps us safe. But if there's other things that we need to release, let's learn how to release those. And then we go through all the phases of history, the big ones, Egypt, of course, Greece and Rome. And then the second half of the book is a lot of fun. I'm a big believer in Lemuria and Atlantis. I've written some books for the Edgar Cayce Foundation. So I have drawn a lot of those clientele to me over the years, and I really believe in that. So I wanted to put Lemuria at the beginning of the historical timeline, but my publisher, who I love, Llewellyn, said, why don't we put that in the other world section? So, because that's a little far out for some. It can't be historically proven. So part two, we get into Lemuria and the idea that some people can actually regress back to before time in a place called before, that I call before the before, where they're just like one with the universe. Then we get into Atlantis, and then we get into people who really believe they either interacted with extraterrestrials, or one gentleman is floating around in a spaceship. And so there's a lot of fun things. And again, guided imagery in every chapter, so the reader can hopefully, you know, take some fun journeys and at least hopefully be entertained, if nothing else. And very then take cool. that big past life journey at the very end of the book.
Oh, that's so great. Well, one of our lucky viewers will get a copy of your recent book. Llewellyn is generous enough to send one out. So if they write mysticfix.com. Shelley, how can people reach you if they want to follow up in some way?
Yeah, my website is pastlifelady.com. Okay. And my sessions are there. I have a book link. I've got a link to my podcast and other things right there.
So and great. Sessions. It has been an absolute pleasure. I hope to continue to remain in contact with you in this life, but maybe in some others too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thanks a lot, Shelley.
We'll talk more about past lives with author Karen Joy after these messages. You're listening to Mystic Fix on News Talk STL 101.9 and 94.1. Yes, I've told you to keep it from the gallows pole. And we're back with Mystic Fix on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Julia Gordon-Bramer. We've just been talking to author and Dr. Shelley Kerr about her fascinating book, Past Lives in Ancient Lands and Other Worlds, Understanding Your Soul's Journey Through Time. Next up is another Llewellyn author, Karen Joy, who wrote Lost Soul, Wise Soul. We're going to talk about how souls are incarnated and why. Why we're here, as well as healing the hard stuff. Let's listen now. I am so happy to welcome Karen Joy to Mystic Fix today. Karen is a practicing psychologist. You've been a psychologist for decades, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, and also author of her latest book, Lost Soul, Wise Soul, How Challenging Past Lives Shape Our Future. That's with Llewellyn Publishers. So intrigued by your title, Lost Soul, Wise Soul. Can you talk about that first?
I'd love to, thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Yes, Lost Soul, Wise Soul, we chose that because it's about how we get lost on our many lives and come back and develop wisdom, like we eventually develop wisdom over time. So it's Lost Soul, Wise Soul. So to really be wise on the planet, we learn by experience. You have to go through those darker, heavier, lost lives.
So some of these lives could be in this present life, right? I mean, I think of my own life and I think of like, okay, I was one sort of person as a child and another sort of person with my first husband. And, you know, and I've been evolving and learning and growing as hopefully we all do. But you're talking also about past lives.
So right.
Thank you so much to previous to this incarnation we're in.
That's right. That's what I found anyway from doing regressions. And I started doing regressions because as a psychologist, people started going into past lives. And that's why I decided to focus on that eventually. Mm. Yes. So when we have a lot of past lives, we have a lot of lives and those lives are very different, you know, very different. And we're learning so much during those lives. If you think about how complicated humans are, it's really not going to be understood in one lifetime. So sure. that's what it's about, how we go on this journey from the beginning when we're very naive, if you like, on the planet. And then we're looked after, we're in tribes. And after we come, because tribes are tight and close and, you know, you're guided very strongly. And then we gradually go it alone and get lost, usually in various ways. Some people become victims, some people become perpetrators, but most become something of both.
So it's kind of like Joseph Campbell's hero's journey, or in the tarot, we have the major arcana, which is sort of the story of beginning at the fool as the fool card and evolving and going through exactly. all our trials.
Okay. Exactly. The tarot fits very, very neatly with that.
This is what I love about about spirituality, that, you know, wisdom is the same across the ages. It's the same story, you know, when we're looking at religions, when we're looking at all these different practices. But you said something that intrigued me. You said that your clients or your patients, that you didn't, you were not trying to regress them into past lives originally. The stuff just came up. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes, I can. And it happens very easily. It happens very easily with some people. Mm-hmm. One of the first ones that came in, a lady who felt very burdened, very, very burdened. And she was overweight. Later on, we found out she was doing four lives in one, which is another interesting thing. But she was very burdened with her life and felt very heavy and was very heavy. And I was taking her into this feeling of feeling weighed down, you know, heavy, heavy. And the next minute, just like that, she's in Egypt with, she had two sons with her. They'd been digging a grave into a cave, like she was a slave. And then they were killed along with the person who, the pharaoh who was buried or whoever it was. Then they were killed and they had all these rocks coming down. So they had created a cascade of, as the entrance into the.
An avalanche kind of.
Yeah, an avalanche, and killed them. And that was one of the really early ones. And she I think she did that. It was either the first or second session that I had with her as a psychologist. And it was just taking people into their emotions instead of trying to get control of it, say an anxiety or a panic or fear or heaviness or whatever it was. I would ask them to go into it, go into the feelings, you see, because I want to release them. I don't want to avoid them because that's what they've been trying to do for ages. That was the way I did my therapy.
So getting back to that particular woman, are you saying that her physical heaviness, this was a symbolic heaviness in the avalanche that killed her? Is that?
Well, I'm not sure because she was overweight, but I think she just felt burdened with life and maybe eating was one of the things. So she felt burdened with her life. Later on, her guy, and she had that ability to go in very easily. Later on, we found out that she was doing these four lives in one, which simply meant that she'd been taking it easy in her lives, like going along, having a nice time for about 28 lives, I think they said. And then the guides had a little chat to her and said, you know, she needed to take on more challenges. So then as humans, we go from one extreme to the other, to the other extreme. So she had to come and see me for quite a few years before she got free. She did eventually get free.
So by acknowledging that, you know, or remembering that these have happened, it brings some kind of healing. This makes something click.
Well, what is very interesting about that is that person had died in shock, right, in that past life. Like thought they were doing the right thing, and then suddenly they're dying, right, after doing this hard work. So there's a shock situation. It's always to do with the shock when these lives seem to be carried over. I can't say always, but nearly always. And so that was a shock. And so then she's died suddenly with hurt, anger, or bitterness, or confusion. So when we die in a confused, angry, unhappy, or hanging on state, you know, not wanting to die state, we often get stuck. Because when we actually create our reality, and we're slowed down by this body. But when we haven't got a body anymore, we're creating it immediately. So a lot of the time I'm rescuing souls from past lives where they've been stuck, and that leads into their current life. That's why I say in the title, Challenging Past Lives,
right,
our future, they're leading in because they need to be released. So, and that's common, like the other therapists who do this work, the Michael Newton Institute, for example, a lot of them are rescuing souls who've been stuck, and it's carrying over. So the learning, let's think of it this way, the learning has happened or is in the process of happening, and because we're having all those experiences to learn, but it hasn't sort of been gelled or totally put together yet. And they haven't, they're in fear, not realizing that the learning's happened. You don't need to stay in fear or anger or upset anymore.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense. I hope that's clear.
Yeah. How you address it in your book, Lost Soul, Wise Soul, how souls begin and enter lives on Earth. And I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit, how you would find out such information, for one. Or
Yeah, just by going back, like when you're doing past life regressions like I am, you've got people going back to all different stages of development in their lives. And some of them, the very first time that they've had a traumatic experience, then sometimes that's stuck in the current life even now. So it can go back 30,000 years, like thousands and thousands of years, right back to an earlier life, what we just talked about, where there's some of that earlier life bleeding in to their current life. And so then I get the information. That's how I got the information, because we'd be releasing them and it'd be an early life. They don't know much about the planet or don't understand much. Oh. And so, yeah, so that they're starting to learn. But a lot in early lives, usually we seem to be, I think we incarnate in fairly tight tribal situations, because the tribe is very important. You know, tribes are very important because they create this sort of safety. Now, you've got to fit in with the tribe. If you don't fit in, then you're on, and that would be when you're starting to evolve and develop your own individuality. But in the beginning, being in a tribe is very important because it's safe, and the tribe has got rules and you know, customs and everything, and you fit in with them. So you're protected by the tribe. And there's some cases in there where people talk about how protected they feel with their situation.
Well, and you also address that we all have sort of a dual role of victim and perpetrator, correct?
We can do. Most of us do. There's a few souls who come from other places, you know, that haven't first incarnated on the earth, who are sort of experienced souls, you might say, and they sometimes come in and don't sort of get caught up in being perpetrators, but they end up having a lot of victim lives usually to find out. Yeah, and they find it hard. Like I remember one lady saying, I said, why did you come? Like her soul, why did you come to planet Earth? Because, you know, you've been in very light, lovely places before. Why did you come? She said, because it's so beautiful and because it's so real and so solid. Like we forget who we are because it's so real, and so other places aren't as real and as, you know, solid.
Oh.
And so she came because it looked so beautiful. And then she got caught up with all this human stuff that we do and all this deception and everything that happens as humans, because we don't know who we really are. And so was struggling with that.
When you meet a patient or anyone who is, you know, horribly victimized in some way, let's just say they were a lifetime of sexual abuse or assault or something like that. How do you, as the doctor or even as a friend, how do you make peace with that? I mean, you wouldn't just shrug it off and say, oh, past life karma, you know?
Oh, no. We, as humans, that's in our body. Those experiences are what we know, you know, they can make you very ill. So they're in our body. So I was sexually abused as a child myself, so I can give you that example. And it's taken me a long time to release that and to be fully free of that. And I have a lot of clients, of course, who then come to me, who come to me who've had that sort of abuse. So the people I'm getting probably aren't at the beginning of that journey. Most of them have been, because I'm doing regressions now, I'm not doing psychology anymore, really. I'm doing regressions, but I've just had that background. But when they come in, it does give you a bigger perspective, because if you're taken into the past and then you find out that maybe you were a perpetrator or maybe you've been victimized before and you're feeling guilty about something, that is playing into your creation of the reality.
Uh-huh.
You know, in other words, you see yourself as a victim and you see yourself as weak. You have taken advantage of. That's the way this system works to a large degree.
Like
what you give out is what you are attracting to yourself.
So when we hurt others, we actually suffer ourselves and carry that along as well.
Absolutely. Because like I just had a lady recently who killed in a past life, and she was attracted to narcissists. And I asked the guides why. Well, why is she attracted to narcissists? They said she's attracted to narcissists because she's carrying that guilt deep inside her. Now, at the end of the life where she killed her partner, who was a bit violent, but she was a very hard person too, she didn't feel any guilt at all, or she didn't seem to. She just said, well, I'm glad I had a happy life, you know, without that abuse. But the guide said, whenever we're acting outside of who we really are, and who we really are loving beings, we are going to carry some of that in our system, within us. So yes, you can see people who don't have any remorse about killing, but deep down, that's still going to come to the surface sometime.
Yeah. So Karen, how do people work with you? If somebody said, I want to do a past life regression with Karen Joy, how can they reach you?
They go to my website, which is called lifebetweenlivesregression.com. Though you might find if you put in Karen Joy past life regressions, it'll probably come up if you do a search. And yes, and then I have an online booking system, and I am booked ahead. Like I am a few months, sometimes a few more.
That's
than a few
great.
Uh-huh. To get to see me. But I'm very happy to see anybody who'd like to see me. And I still have clients in America. Actually, I have clients all around the world because I
so do. So you can do this online. Do you do this through Zoom or?
Through mm-hmm. Zoom. Through Zoom. And it works very well. I've never felt, apart from, technological problems, if there are any, uh-huh. but they're very rarely, yes, luckily. We seem to be looked after. Mm-hmm. that's what's funny. And one day, just recently, it stopped, the thing went down right at the end of a 3.5 hour session. And that was deemed like, they said, oh, we've got to let it, I don't know why, but yeah, we seem to be looked after with technology. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's just the same. It's just the same as them being in this room here with me. It doesn't seem to make any difference. We seem to be able to do it because, you know, in the ether, in the other side, there's no real distance, you know, that's all construct of this reality.
And I think scholars have realized that in the Bible, reincarnation was in Christianity until it was excised from the Bible around the time of the Crusades, I believe. And the Hindus have always been onto something. And it just seems we go around again and again with the ones we love and the ones we don't love to learn some lessons and grow. So.
That's true, yes. And there's even a couple of references in the Bible. Like one of them is where Jesus says Elijah, like they said, Elijah was supposed to come again. He said he is, and he indicated John the Baptist. So they did miss it. Oh. Justinian, I think, he missed a few little bit there. But they were trying to create cohesion at that time. And so they just had to make some choices, I think, about what went in and what didn't. Yeah.
Great.
But well, a lot Karen, of people know that it's real. They sense it and feel it. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that no problem. Karen Joy, it has been an absolute pleasure. And I'm happy to say that Llewellyn Books is giving a copy of Lost Soul, Wise Soul to one of our listeners. So I'll put up information, but anybody can go to mysticfix.com for a chance to win that book. So thank you very, very much. And, perhaps we'll be talking to you again sometime.
I would be delighted. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great evening. That was author Karen Joy discussing the therapy side of past life regression. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Mystic Fix on News Talk STL 101.9 and 94.1.
You're listening to Mystic Fix on News Talk STL.
Our spiritual journey tonight will begin.
Can't outrun your fate.
Let me tell you about you.
I know who you are, what you are, and why you have come.
Take a good look at these cards, young man. They contain all the secrets of the universe. What does it say?
So I have this new engineer, Anton, who is like really cool and my new best friend.
Thank you.
And I thought it would be fun to read his card. So why don't you shuffle?
Our first reading ever.
Oh, you've never had a tarot card reading?
This is my first time.
So what I like to tell the newbies, tarot shows you the path that you're on. If we see something coming up that you don't like, it is an opportunity to do it differently. So what subject would you like me to look at? Or do you just want me to see what I see?
Let's just go for the ride.
All right.
Let's see what you see.
All right. Okay.
These cards look really scary.
Oh, they're not. We start with the Nine of Swords in reverse. When I say a card's in reverse, it's upside down as it faces me.
Okay.
And this is actually, when it's upside down in reverse, it's a good card. Okay. So she's in this dark room, and it does look scary, and swords look scary, you know. But none of these swords are attacking her. They're stacked on the wall behind her, and she is turned away from them. Swords in the tarot are our thoughts. We say someone is sharp. Right. So she is turned away from her thoughts. Her world is fine. She's cozy in bed. She even has a comforter here. OK, yours is upside down, which is saying you're facing the hard stuff. You are in a sort of a process of, you know, looking at your inner journey and the, what makes you tick. And it's a good healing card. We do have the Lovers in reverse. So usually this is romance. And in reverse, it does feel like that's a little problematic for you right now. So I'm just seeing like there's a little tension or something not feeding the romance in the most positive way right now. I do have the Three of Cups in reverse. This is our party card. And in reverse, it's saying a little too much, Anton. It might, you know, it's about, it doesn't have to be that you're smoking and drinking too much. Sometimes it can be eating too much. Sometimes it can be just too much celebration. Like, oh my God, I have 3 graduation announcements in my mailbox plus a wedding. And how am I going to do all of that? So it kind of depends how you want to apply it. But I am seeing that there's a lot being asked of you socially. It just feels like you're kind of wearing down a little bit, you know? So I would say if you can stay home more.
I like where
so
this is going.
Your top card, this is the one you're not going to like, and it's the Five of Pentacles, and it's just saying that money's really tight this year. It's a rough year for a lot of people. I do, oftentimes I work with my clients about money, and I do like to say that the people who have money like it, and that sounds like such an obvious thing, right? But most people aren't after money for money's sake. Money isn't like a hobby for most people. They're after what money gets them. And so if you got interested in money for, you know, just to have a little bit of personal power, let's say you had $10,000 in the bank. No one would call you rich, right? But think of the peace of mind of having that cushion.
Yeah.
If you lost your job unexpectedly, you could float for a little while. If your car broke down, you could get something. You know, it you would never bounce a check. It gives you a peace of mind, and that is power.
Everything is accurate, good, and I won't say bad.
Right, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's just a thing.
it's just accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's life.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
No problem.
All right.
I really enjoyed this.
Cool. You bet. My new book, Tarot Life Lessons, is real life stories from my journals about working as a professional tarot card reader, and it is now available to pre-order on Amazon.com. This July, I'll also be reading cards at the Illuminate Festival in Ocean City, Maryland on July 29th. You can learn more at illuminatefestivals.com. Before we go, I want to thank our sponsor, CommaFlight. I love doing this show, and it would not be possible without CommaFlight. Want an amazing spiritual weekend getaway? There are new CommaFlight weekends scheduled all the time at the Chosen Retreat Center in Sebastian, Florida. Deepening intimacy through somatic movement, CommaFlight distills and blends the dynamism of contact improv, the serene flow of Watsu, the deep tissue release of Thai massage, and the exhilaration of acro yoga. CommaFlight comprises a new modality for reanimating the body. Visit @CommaFlight, that's K-A-M-A FLIGHT, on Instagram for videos, links, and more information. So glad you could join us for another episode of Mystic Fix. If this is your kind of programming, please like and subscribe to the podcast or videocast. You are listening to Mystic Fix on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL, and I am Julia Gordon Bramer. Until next time.